This is the Texas Standard.
It's regarded as one of the worst criminal shootouts in American history. Nearly 2 years ago in Waco, a bloody altercation involving bikers and police would leave 9 dead and 18 wounded, to say nothing of nearly 180 bikers arrested en masse, bail of $1 million set for almost each person, and a gag order dropped after protest. Since then, no criminal convictions have happened, and the public still knows very little about what actually transpired that day or in the ensuing investigation. But now, thanks to a series of leaked documents obtained by the Texas Standard, we have a brief glimpse into what actually did happen before the shots were fired that day, specifically how much the police may have known about the potential for violence in advance. Here to talk about these documents, Alon Stevens, resident investigative reporter for the Texas Standard. Thanks for coming in and talking with us.
Thanks for having me.
So let's start with what exactly you're looking at there.
Well, we actually got a series of documents here. Some of these are intelligence documents and police operational orders from the various law enforcement entities. But we pieced together a lot of stuff from these interagency communications that show a little bit about the investigation that happened after the shooting, as well as the preamble leading up to it.
So what did you actually find?
Well, one of the things that we saw over and over again was the fact that police officers knew that there was this high likelihood of violence that was going to occur there that day. Actually, the first thing that we see that talks about the specific May 17th meeting at Twin Peaks is an email from a Waco gang detective by the name of Jeff Rogers. Now, he sends this email out about 2 weeks before the shooting, and he sends it up the chain of command where he talks about this Confederation of Clubs meeting that's going to occur, that the banditos and, quote, all of the big shots are going to be there. And he's concerned. He says that, you know, the Cossacks, this rival gang, were refusing to pay operational dues to the banditos. And then he ends the email in a warning saying that, in fact, if this gang were to show up at this Twin Peaks location, that the potential for violence was very high and that they're going to be monitoring it.
So does this actually constitute evidence that within the Waco Police Department prior to the shooting, there was a discussion about the possibility, if not the probability, that there would be violence between these two motorcycle clubs?
Right, right. And in fact, we see up to the very, very moment before the shooting that actually a series of text messages were sent from a patron who was there that day to a law enforcement entity requesting law enforcement presence there. This is almost about an hour before the shooting. These text messages came from a Michael Lynch. Now, Michael is a motorcycle enthusiast. He actually owns a local Waco plumbing business. And due to the nature of that business, he has a lot of ties with in the community, and one of those was with McLennan County Constable Walt Strickland. And in this series of text messages, we see that he says, we have a bad situation, that we need law enforcement presence here. And Strickland actually comes back and says, hey, I've contacted the Waco Police Department. They said that they were unaware of the situation, and they just didn't know what was going on. You know, and with that, we don't know exactly what happened to that message when Waco police received it. We don't know if it was relayed up. We don't know if they were saying that they were unaware because they were trying to maintain some sort of operational secrecy. But I actually dug a little bit deeper to figure out what would prompt that message. And what I found out is that Michael's wife was actually there, Sandra Lynch, about an hour before. She was setting up where she sells t-shirts and merchandise at this event. And she says that a group that she identified as the Cossacks arrived, and she tried to prevent them from entering into the establishment. This is what she had to say.
When they surrounded me, when I was looking for help, and after they were, you know, spitting on me, there was one of the young kids there that had an onion sack of cue balls on his hip, and he kept bouncing them up and down at me. That's when I was thinking, where's a policeman when I need one?
Just to be clear, there were policemen there, you just couldn't see them.
Right, and Sandra also went on to say that this situation that day was eerie to her because in previous bike nights, she had always identified a visible police presence. She said little did she know that nearly an hour after this event would take place, police would be on scene, but this time it would be after a barrage of gunfire would occur.
What's a takeaway from this?
I think these are some questions that the law enforcement entities involved are going to have to answer. I think a really smart attorney is actually going to bring this up, not only in the criminal cases, but, you know, to remind you, there are civil cases as well. And I think an attorney is going to ask the police, if you knew that there is such a high likelihood of violence to occur, did you not have a duty to intervene? And why instead did you decide to launch this joint surveillance operation that ended in death and injury?
You can get more details on this story, including which law enforcement agency was kept in the dark about this event, as well as how Twin Peaks management may have been involved in this incident, by checking out texasstandard.org. Alon Stevens heads up investigations at the Standard. Thanks for taking a few moments out to talk.
Thank you.